And Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water. You can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Saturday from 11 to 3 with to-go and catering available. For more info, go to iloveohmfoods.com or find them on Facebook. And we're made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to show 1932, the August 7th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism, every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, and streaming online at kzfr.org. What do we have coming up, Danny?
On today's show, we'll be covering what's happening and what's not happening down on Old McDonald's Farm, and the impacts that has on public health. Upcoming news from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the IPCC acronym you see floating around, and also how what's on your plate can play a positive or negative role in climate change. The choice is yours. All of this followed by some words from the only vegan candidate running for national office that we know of, Cory Booker. We'll end with news about the AFTER Act, federal legislation that promises to give some laboratory animals a chance at living happily ever after their suffering, I suppose. Jeannie?
Thanks, Danny. I should say, back in the studio is my co-host, Danny Toms. Welcome back, Danny.
Thank you. I'm in and out like the wind.
The surge in drug-resistant infections is one of the world's most ominous health threats, and public health authorities say one of the biggest causes is farmers who feed or inject millions of pigs, cows, and chickens with antibiotics to keep them healthy, healthy with quotes, sometimes in crowded conditions before slaughter. Overuse of the drugs has allowed germs to develop defenses to survive. Drug-resistant infections in animals are spreading to people, jeopardizing the effectiveness of drugs that have provided quick cures for a vast range of ailments and helped lengthen human lives over much of the past century. Much of the pork in a 2015 salmonella outbreak was traced to a Washington State slaughterhouse called Kapausen Meats. Investigators inspecting the slaughterhouse were told to look at the farms that had supplied the pigs. But public health investigators at times have been unable to obtain even the most basic information about practices on the farm. Livestock industry and executives sit on federal Agriculture Department advisory committees, pour money into political campaigns, and have had a seat at the table in drafting regulations for the industry, helping to ensure that access to farms is generally at the owner's discretion. A former chief veterinarian at the Agriculture Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service said the pork industry regularly thwarted access to information on antibiotic use. When it comes to power, no one dares stand up to the pork industry, not even the U.S. government. The New York Times reviewed government documents, medical records, and emails of scientists and public health officials, as well as conducted interviews with victims, investigators, industry executives, and others involved in this 2015 salmonella outbreak. That outbreak, by the way, it happened in August of 2015, and it was linked to salmonella, to pork products, coming from Kapausen meats. It resulted in 134 cases of salmonella and two deaths. So nothing to sneeze at. The tension between, the industry officials in the that were interviewed for this New York Times article argued in documents and interviews that farmers needed protection against regulators and scientists who could unfairly harm their business by blaming it for a food poisoning outbreak when the science was complex and salmonella is endemic in livestock. That tension mirrors a broader distrust in agriculture and other businesses about the intention of federal regulators and other government overseers. Dr. Robert Taux, director of the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, told the New York Times that antibiotic resistance is increasing and some virulent strains of salmonella are just one of a growing number of drug-resistant germs that put farm families and meat eaters generally at risk. Now, we hear about salmonella outbreaks that sometimes are associated with unwashed or raw produce, but really the CDC is saying that this is a risk for meat eaters, which I thought was interesting. And this whole article is basically about how these farmers don't care to be part of the regulatory process. They don't care and don't want to be inspected, and they don't want to help uncover these disease origins.
I really wonder why they might want to hide that.
A study in Iowa found that workers on pig farms were over six times more likely to carry multi-drug resistant staph infections, notably MRSA.
Wow.
A study in North Carolina found that children of pig workers were twice as likely to carry MRSA than children whose parents didn't work in a swine operation.
And most of these folks are immigrants.
Those germs can also wind up on pork sold to consumers. An analysis of government data by the Environmental Working Group, a research organization, found that 71% of pork chops at supermarkets in the United States carried resistant bacteria, second only to ground turkey at 79%.
You don't see that on the signs at the supermarket.
No, you don't see that on the ingredient list or the warning list. No. But the government has little authority to collect data on the farm. The Food and Drug Administration is charged with collecting antibiotic use data, but farms are not required to provide it and only do so voluntarily. As a result, the federal government has no information about the antibiotics used on a particular farm and no way to document the role of the drugs in accelerating resistance. After the start of the 2015 salmonella outbreak, the implicated Washington State Slaughterhouse agreed to cease operations in cooperation with the state. The next day, there was a recall of over 523,000 pounds of its pork products. At the same time, the Montana Pork Producers Council wrote to the Washington Health Agency saying it was, quote, clear there is little to no value in conducting on-farm investigations, end quote, and that investigators should focus on slaughterhouses. So here we have like another point of interest in this chain of infections, right, that originate on these farms that are using antibiotics to dose their animals for ostensibly for health purposes, but really it's for growth purposes. It's for economic gain. And that's our regulations allow investigations and inspectors at slaughterhouses, but not backwards, not onto the farm. And it's why some of these epidemiological studies, they have to use meat that comes straight from the supermarket. They can't actually go to the farm, which would be far more helpful than quarantining dangerous strains of the salmonella. Ann Miller, who is the Montana Pork Producers Council executive director, said she did not appreciate that researchers were coming at a time of crisis. The trick to getting good information is to get research before you get to that situation, she said. Why hadn't this done prior? Why hadn't inspections on the farm been done prior?
It's like all, dare I say, you know, conservative Republican business folk. You know, they all have the same deflection talking points. You know, they just sort of change some nouns and throw it out there every single time.
Very slippery and ultimately lethal.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately dangerous to the public. Dr. Lindquist, the epidemiologist, said, quote, during the outbreak, I heard from restaurants, I heard from patients, I heard from the slaughterhouse, the USDA, the FDA, the Department of Agriculture in Washington and Montana, the Health Department in Montana, and the Health Department in Washington State. I did not hear from the farms, end quote. In the end, there were no on-farm inspections related to the 2015 salmonella outbreak in Washington State. So that was a piece from the, it was a piece called Tainted Pork, Ill Consumers, and an Investigation Thwarted by author Matt Richtel, who is actually a best-selling author and Pulitzer-winning reporter based in San Francisco for the New York Times, published on August 4th. New York Times have been doing quite a number of investigative pieces on our food supply and specifically on this antibiotic resistance that's developing that we're seeing.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go on a tangent here on antibiotics. This story, it's horrible for the animals. It's horrible for the people. You know, for 99.99999% of humankind's existence, we have not had antibiotics. You stepped on a rock, you got a puncture, you got a cut, you might die. You catch a bug, you might die. We had electricity before we had antibiotics. And so we don't treat it seriously, you know, in the animal realm. We have issues in agriculture with spraying for fire blight, where they spray antibiotics to prevent a bacteria. They try to phase that out. You have this, you know, with doctors overprescribing, and we all just kind of go la, la, la about it. And if you went back 150 years and said, hey, we have magic pills that will stop this drug, but if you abuse it, it will cease to work. Do you still want it? And they'd be like, you're crazy. You guys aren't protecting this magical invention. You're just letting it kind of fade away.
Kiss your magic pills goodbye. Your urinary tract infections are going to be have much more serious complications.
I mean, your strep throat, everything. It's just...
And so, you know, I went on the Center for Disease Control website. I was looking for some current public health information because that story was from 2015. It actually took that long to get all the data and emails and talk to all the people to put that story together. In the meanwhile, right here in 2019, the CDC reports that an additional 489 people in 8 states have been added to an investigation of salmonella among backyard chickens. A total of 768 people have been infected with various strains of salmonella and have been reported in 48 states. 122 people have been hospitalized and 2 deaths have been reported, one from Texas and one from Ohio. And epidemiologic and laboratory evidence indicate that contact with backyard poultry, such as chicks and ducklings, from multiple hatcheries are the likely source of these outbreaks. So be careful out there. Backyard.
So I only eat eggs that my neighbor makes?
Exactly,
that's a good answer?
No, it's not a good answer. And as we've talked about, a lot of times these backyard hens that come from our local feed stores,
right,
or mail order, come from giant hatcheries that are not that different from the hatcheries that provide laying hens for the egg industry, mm-hmm, and are equally prone to making you sick.
I mean, it's all a supply chain operating for profit. They're going to cut corners wherever they can.
So, all right. Thanks, Danny. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Over to you, Danny.
Attempts to solve the climate crisis by cutting carbon emissions from only cars, factories, and power plants is doomed to failure, scientists will warn this week. A leaked draft of a report on climate change and land use, which is now being debated in Geneva by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, states that it will be impossible to keep global temperatures at safe levels unless there is also a transformation in the way the world produces food and manages land. Humans now exploit 72% of the planet's ice-free surface to feed, clothe, and support Earth's growing population, the report warns. At the same time, agriculture, forestry, and other land use produces almost a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions. In addition, about half of all emissions of methane, one of the most potent greenhouse gases, come from cattle and rice fields, while deforestation and the removal of peatlands cause further significant levels of carbon emissions, and the peatlands are currently on fire in Siberia. The impact of intensive agriculture, which has helped the world's population soar from 1.9 billion a century ago, 100 years ago, around 2 billion, to 7.7 billion as of now.
And no antibiotics to help us.
Yes. I mean, maybe we need, you know, climate change will be solved when antibiotics cease to work and most of us die. I don't know.
You're in a dark mood.
That's the dark theory here. Intensive agriculture has also increased soil erosion and reduced amounts of organic material in the ground. In future, these problems are likely to get worse. Quote, climate change exacerbates land degradation through increases in rainfall intensity, flooding, drought frequency and severity, heat stress, wind, sea level rise, and wave action, the report states. It is a bleak analysis of the dangers ahead and comes when rising greenhouse gas emissions have made news after triggering a range of severe meteorological events. These include news that Arctic sea ice coverage neared record lows for July. The heat waves that hit Europe last month were between 1.5 Celsius and 3 Celsius higher because of climate change. And if you're challenged in that way, it's around 3 to 6 degrees higher Fahrenheit. Global temperatures for July were 1.2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels for the month. This last figure is particularly alarming as the IPCC has warned that rises greater than 1.5 degrees Celsius risk triggering climate destabilization, while those higher than 2 degrees Celsius make such events even more likely. Quote, we are now getting very close to some dangerous tipping points in the behavior of the climate. But as this latest leaked report of the IPCC's work reveals, it is going to be very difficult to achieve the cuts we need to make to prevent that from happening, said Bob Ward, policy director at the Grantham Research Institute on Climate Change and the Environment. The new IPCC report emphasizes that land will have to be managed more sustainably so that it releases much less carbon than at present. Peatlands will need to be restored by halting drainage schemes. Meat consumption will have to be cut to reduce methane production, and food waste will have to be reduced. Among the measures put forward by the report is the proposal of a major shift towards vegetarian and vegan diets.
Ding, 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 ding.
The consumption of healthy and sustainable diets, such as those based on coarse grains, pulses and vegetables, and nuts and seeds, presents major opportunities for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, the report states. There also needs to be a big change in how land is used, it adds. Policies need to include improved access to markets, empowering women farmers, expanding access to agricultural services, and strengthening land tenure security, it states. Early warning systems for weather, crop yields, and seasonal climate events are also critical. The chances of politicians and scientists achieving these goals are uncertain, however. Nations are scheduled to meet in late 2020, probably in the UK, at a key conference where delegates will plan how to achieve effective zero carbon emission policies over the next few decades. The U.S., the second largest emitter of greenhouse gases, will have just had its presidential elections. A new Democrat incumbent would likely be sympathetic to moves to control global heating. Re-election of Donald Trump, who has called climate change a hoax, would have a very different, far gloomier perspective on hopes of achieving a consensus. That was a news story titled, quote, "We must change food production to save the world," says leaked report, published in the August 3rd, 2019 edition of The Guardian newspaper and written by Robin McKee, science and environment editor.
Nothing really new there, but
scary stuff.
The IPCC is coming out, I think, a little stronger on the role of agriculture and our personal choice of diet on how that plays into climate change.
I mean, I saw something a few days ago about the ice melting, right, and the ice caps. And, you know, as it melts, it makes puddles. And as those puddles get deeper, they turn blue. And as they get darker, they absorb more heat. And as they absorb more heat, they melt faster. So it becomes a runaway system. And what will happen is they will melt, disregarding everything else. We get hotter, and they'll never freeze again until the atmosphere is so congested with methane and other things that we enter another ice age. So it's not, we can't just put it back in the genie back in the bottle if we get to that point very easily.
And somewhere Al Gore is saying, "I told you so."
Right.
All right, you've been listening to Animal News and Agriculture News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. You're up again, Danny. Story number three.
All right. Senator Cory Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, said the planet can't sustain people eating meat as the 2020 hopeful aims to become the first vegan president. Though we support all vegans, he's not officially endorsed or not endorsed by Non-Human Radio. Booker told the Veg News magazine that he became vegan after coming to the realization that eating eggs, quote, didn't align with my spirit. While claiming he does not want to lecture Americans on their diets, Booker says Americans need to be nudged into fake cheese because the planet cannot sustain the environmental impact of the food industry. He told Veg News that, you see the planet Earth moving towards what is the standard American diet. We've seen this massive increase in consumption of meat produced by the industrial animal agriculture industry. The tragic reality is this planet simply can't sustain billions of people consuming industrial-produced animal agriculture because of its environmental impact. It's just not possible. The numbers just don't add up. We will destroy our planet unless we start figuring out a better way forward when it comes to our climate change and our environment. Booker's vegan journey began in 1992 when he became a vegetarian after reading a biography of Mahatma Gandhi. His philosophy is that you don't change things by fighting what exists in reality. To change something, you build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. American consumers should not be told what to eat, but if you provide viable alternatives that in some cases taste even better, and if people have more information, if we consumers are informed about whatever it is, from the dangers of the overuse of plastics to the conditions in which animals are being treated. So, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, which we see happening in, with all these faux meat alternatives that are coming out and that are being adopted by various franchises across the nation and across Europe.
Yep. Booker is not alone in calling for transformations of major sectors of the U.S. economy. The 2020 Democratic presidential field has already called for the elimination of private health insurance and to reshape capitalism. Booker, along with other prominent 2020 liberal candidates, signed on to the Green New Deal, which calls for the economic transformation of the United States by transitioning to 100% renewable energy in just 10 years. Renewable energy currently accounts for just 17% of electricity generation. Booker explained he first became a vegetarian because, quote, his body just took off, and he had more energy after he stopped eating meat. I guess he's saying he felt better, got stronger. He then searched for science that backed up his feelings, finding data that first reaffirmed his vegetarianism, and then that led to information about the environment and cruelty to animals. He began to see his vegetarianism at the time as the best way to live in accordance to his ideals and values. He says that his veganism started then. The final straw was eating eggs that did not align with his spirit, Booker saying that, quote, I think so many of our likes and dislikes are childhood memories or family traditions, and you associate the foods you're eating often with such good emotions, but now suddenly eating those eggs for me was just something that didn't align with my spirit, and I could feel it. I finally just made a decision that I was going to become vegan. I remember my last non-vegan meal was Election Day, November 2014. That was from an article titled, Cory Booker, This Planet Simply Can't Sustain People Eating Meat, published on February 12, 2019, in the Free Beacon and written by Elizabeth Harrington.
Thanks, Danny. All right, we're going to close out this half hour with a report on legislation. Veg News reported last week that a bipartisan group of senators introduced the Animal Freedom from Testing, Experimentation, and Research Act, the AFTER Act. The bill requires that all federally run animal laboratories have policies allowing for the adoption or retirement of animals after experiments end. Currently, federal government labs experiment on approximately 50,000 dogs, cats, primates, rabbits, and other regulated animals each year, of course, excluding mice and rats because they are exempted from animal cruelty laws for experimentation. The majority of these animals are killed at the end of testing, even if they're healthy, because federal agencies do not have policies on adopting or retiring animals that are no longer used in research. The AFTER Act will ensure that every federal agency that uses animals for research has policies in place to facilitate the relocation of retired, healthy lab animals to private homes, animal rescues, or reputable sanctuaries. Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, introduced the bill and said in a statement, quote, there is no reason animals that are suitable for adoption or retirement should be killed by our federal agencies. Our bipartisan legislation continues to build on the successful policies at the Department of Defense, Department of Veteran Affairs, and the National Institutes of Health, while directing other federal agencies to facilitate and encourage the retirement of animals to help ensure they are placed in loving homes or sanctuaries wherever possible. Last year, Congressional Representatives Brendan Boyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, and Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, sent a bipartisan demand letter to the Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration to review, reduce, and replace primate testing in federal labs.
Wait, what's going on here? We have both Susan Collins and Matt Gaetz trying to do good things?
Amazing.
I'm shook.
Soon after that, that demand letter, 26 squirrel monkeys were the first to be rescued from an FDA nicotine testing lab and relocated to a sanctuary, a move that came after pressure from the advocacy group, the White Coast Waste Project, and world-renowned primatologist Jane Goodall, among others. So basically, this legislation, should it pass, which I hope to report that it will, gives these agencies a mandate to do the right thing. These agencies can already do the right thing.
Yeah.
They don't need to have a law that says they can do it. They just need a shove.
And I don't know if there's penalties here or anything. It's just sort of saying you really should do the right thing. It's not saying they have to provide for taking care of them. It's just they should try.
Yeah, and what it does is it gives animal advocacy agencies like the or organizations like White Coast Waste Project to put pressure.
Yeah.
On these agencies to do the right thing.
I would think with something like that in place, too, you'd get rid of sort of spurious tests like we talked about a few weeks ago with some of the these kind of ivory tower guys. I just keep killing rats and doing experiments on it because I can publish every year and I don't really care, you know.
Yeah, the drowning tests
that we talked about a few
weeks ago, yeah. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms.
Now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar events. Get out your stone tablets, your iPods, your leaves, your pencils, however you keep track of time. What's going on, Jeannie?
Great. Thanks, Danny. August 8th, tomorrow, is Moon Bear Day 2019. It's a very special day for these magnificent and majestic Asiatic black bears who continue to be abused for their bile. Moon bears are being exploited on a mass scale. Literally, thousands are taken from the wild and are held in the cruelest captivity for their entire lives. For the unluckiest bears, this unending treatment can continue for up to 30 years. And that is a movement put forward by the group Animals Asia. That's the day, August 8th is 8-8, very auspicious day, and that's the day that actually that nonprofit was founded. August 8th is also the date that the Impossible Whopper will be available nationwide at Burger King's all across the country, and that is will be a vegan burger if you ask them to hold the mayo. And speaking of burgers, the Nevada County Vegan Burger Battle continues all this month. Nevada County restaurants are offering a bunch of vegan burgers for their customers to enjoy and vote on. And that you can find out more information on that at the Nevada County Vegan Burger Battle Facebook page. August 8th is also the date of the Chico Peace and Justice Center invitation for volunteers to come help organize their annual dinner for fundraiser event, which they are considering making vegan, and that's why we're sharing it here. If you are interested in helping, please attend their committee meeting tomorrow night, Thursday, August 8th at 6 p.m. at the Chico Peace and Justice Center at 526 Broadway. Also this weekend, which will be Sunday, August 11th, will be the Sunday brunch at Blackbird Cafe, offered by Near and Dear Baked Goods. I just saw that posted the other just as I was walking to the studio, so I wanted to give a heads up. And for more information on that, follow Near and Dear Baked Goods on Instagram. All right, that is about it. If you have an event to share, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And as always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's Animal Rights Quote of the Week is from Toni Morrison, Nobel laureate, Pulitzer Award winner, and in the words of Barack Obama, a national treasure. As good a storyteller, as captivating in person as she was on the page, whose writing was a beautiful, meaningful challenge to our conscience and our moral imagination. She passed away this week after a life well lived. She wrote, "Please don't settle for happiness. It's not good enough. Of course you deserve it. But if that's all you have in mind, happiness, I want to suggest to you that personal success devoid of meaningfulness, free of a steady commitment to social justice, that's more than a barren life. It's a trivial one.